are back again. This is Mai Tai Happy Hour. We are in the new year. The new year. We are here in the new year. We're
the
in the
new year.
It's a wonderful new year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
I am so happy to still be alive.
Yeah, you are.
And hanging with the greatest crew of motherfuckers I've ever met in my life.
You know it.
Hambone in particular.
That's me.
Hambone.
George.
How's life treating you?
Well, I can see we're not going to let go of the theme song in the new year. Life
Absolutely
is good, man.
Not.
Life is good. I'm happy to be here again. I'm happy that we're hitting 53 episodes of this glorious podcast.
53 episodes.
53 episodes.
53 episodes.
And I remember at least 22 of them.
Do you realize that, like, it's almost been a year, 2 years?
2 years, man.
I don't know when the actual 2-year mark will be, but you got to keep me updated.
I want to say it's like February 22nd is 2 years.
I think so, too.
And I'd be shocked that I remember
It should show up in our Facebook feed.
It should.
Like, remember back when.
And I'll tell you, be like, we made it.
So I just want it to be known that that is the only way I actually remember life anymore, is the Facebook memory thing. Like,
yeah.
If it wasn't, and I think that kind of plays into what we're going to be talking about today, which is Black Mirror, because that's kind of like the whole thing about that show is, you know, how the internet just fucks us up and, like, makes
so
us, like, rely on, like, Facebook memory to know anything, right?
Well, how would we remember anyone's birthday, phone number, or anything important?
I remember no birthdays before Facebook.
No.
And now I have so many Facebook friends, I don't remember birthdays anymore either.
Oh, God, the pains of being popular,
it's,
huh?
It's so rough. It's so like, tough. I don't even know these people. You think they're my friends? No, these aren't my friends. These are just people who claim they're my friends that think I'm their friend. I don't know. I've had 52 new friends in 2017, according to
are
Facebook.
Are you having an existential crisis
on air? Do
you
think I know
air?
Who any of them are? Like, I have no idea. This is just all madness.
It is
this
madness.
This is madness, I'm telling you. But you know what is not madness?
What is not
the
madness?
The fact that the fucking amazing, evil, cruel, monstrous, destructor of life, the human machine. Ken Lucas is back
on
the show.
So awesome to be here. I thank you guys.
Welcome back,
all
Ken.
The time for having me on this show. And
Ken.
And I want to thank the audience too for, you know, always supporting me. And
always. I mean, they say you bring this, like, new persona, this new life. You breathe life into the show. You're the youthfulness of our show.
So what a thunk, the Doombringer, the two-time, woo!
Oh, you just
King of New Year's.
All our levels just blew to shit, Hambone.
Well,
thank you very much.
Two-time King of New Year's.
Like, you know what I bring to the party.
Sometimes I wonder. I mean, if you weren't the greatest co-host in the world, you would probably be replaced by somebody else.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate the vote of no confidence there. Hey, you know what I did bring to the party, though, tonight?
What?
I brought another guest.
We are not ready to... First of all, we haven't even asked Ken how his New Year's was. We haven't asked Ken, like, how life's going.
I already told you his New Year's. He won the King of New Year's, man.
But didn't
he's riding high.
Well, what is the King of New Year's? Why Ken, would you just say that?
What is the King of New Year's?
So, at this fabulous party at the Horvath Manor that we go to every year, I think, and Stu mentioned it might have been the 10th year.
This was 9.
It was 9.
Yeah.
So the last few years, we whoever's left standing at the end of New Year's Eve partakes in a game of King of Tokyo to see who is going to be crowned the King of New Year's.
What time are we talking here?
What time frame?
Yeah, like what
somewhere
time?
Between 3 and 4 in the morning.
Usually. So the sun's almost up.
Yeah,
so Hambone's usually part of this because
he's been.
I have been there. There's been times when I may have had a lady in my life where I did go home a little earlier than that, not much. But this year, I was one of the last men standing. Me and Ken.
This year was the lowest number of people.
The lowest number.
I think one of the years there was at least 10 or 12 people last.
Oh shit! I forgot. Crafty women had to go to bed by midnight.
Come on, son. It's a new year.
No Elmer's glue.
It's a new
after,
year, George. New year, same asshole, but still nonetheless.
Just keeping it real, man. Keeping it real.
You're keeping it something.
So our first winner was Ed Coleman. Ian Gonzalez was our second winner. I won in 2016.
Yes, you did.
Stu brought in the Trump administration of 2017.
What is that? Oh, you just the fact that it was the Trump year.
It was a dark year. Stu won it, became the darkest timeline.
It's kind of funny.
And what is King of Tokyo?
King of Tokyo is it's a board game. Where it is like Godzilla, so you're a bunch of monsters and you're fighting for control of Tokyo. You either score points or kill all of your opponents to win.
Hmm.
So it's a one against all type game.
So the way this works is you guys stay up to an obscene hour.
Yes.
Which you shouldn't be anyway because we're adults over the age of 40.
It's New Year's, though.
It's New Year's, but we're still old. So you stay up really late, then you fight the drunkest person in the room, so you know you're going to win. It's kind of fixed.
No. I mean, you know, Ken ate a lot of pizza that night.
No, there's
do.
First off,
I mean, like, was there any chance you weren't going to beat Hambone?
There was a chance.
Well, here's the thing. About two turns before I won, Hambone had the chance to do the impossible. And what he would have done was not only become King of New Year's 2018 edition, but beat two people at once, which no one's done on a New Year's King of Tokyo game night.
Well, I was fully in the bag, being ready to be carried home.
Would that be ham blottoed, ham boned, ham?
Well, I helped clean the kitchen, so I would say that I was definitely ham bombed. I was a hard three, round and four. I was ready to make the home run and play. That being said, what I would had to have done was roll six claws, which is no easy feat when you're sober. So the dice did not roll in my favor.
All right, this is the most fucking boring conversation in the world. We have a guest who's
Thank you.
Awesome.
You asked.
He is
Happy
like
New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I don't know why. And you guys are all like.
So the guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a contributing editor to Unwinnable.com. He's a true cinemaphile, and he can pretty much name any Doctor Who theme within the first measure.
Yeah.
He's the Richie Cunningham to my erstwhile Fonzarelli and my lifelong friend, Ian Gonzalez.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys.
Ian. Dude, welcome to the show. Feel the vibrations. When you walk into the room, I just notice things get good. Things get good. This is the only song I could think of for you. It took me half an hour to find
it,
download it.
Is it because I'm fat?
What does that have to do with being fat?
Because there's like good vibrations with the
jiggle. Have you seen what Marky Mark looks like lately?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, I personally think
you could. You know, he could have stopped 9/11, right?
Oh no, we do not want to get into that. Here.
How? How could he have stopped 9/11?
Well, if he was on Flight United, any of the flights, he would have single-handedly taken down the terrorists, according to him.
According to him, I mean, look, he is Marky Mark. He does own the Funky Brunch. I mean, it's, to me, it's the Funky Brunch.
The Funky Brunch.
Yeah,
it's
called Wahlburgers. They have a breakfast spot.
So he is awesome, though, in The Departed. I will give him that.
So real talk, there's a very good chance that my child's first word in 2018 is going to be brunch.
Oh, like, definitely.
It's pretty much guaranteed at this point. We're
Not
just
WWE.
Waiting to see.
No,
it's going to be brunch. It's going to be brunch. So that's something to look forward to. Ian, how was your New Year's? Is that a horribly loaded question?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2018.
Yeah, 2018, where so far we're recording on the 23rd, right?
Yes.
Our president has displayed penis envy on Twitter, and the Clintons' house caught fire today, and we're only 3 days into 2018.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, and Paul Manafort's suing. The special counsel.
Go big or go home, guys. That's what I say.
I have no idea what you're talking about because on Mai Tai TV, the only thing that exists in this world is comics, video games, Marvel movies, and punk rock. So welcome to Mai Tai Happy Hour. What are we talking about today, Hambone?
So today we are going to talk about Black Mirror Season 4 and just some of our hot takes on any of the other seasons of Black Mirror. We're going to talk about Will Smith's Bright on Netflix. We are going to also get into the Wrestle Kingdom 12 predictions, as well as we're going to talk about the Doctor Who Christmas special and the changing of the guard on one of our favorite shows.
Can you tell I'm eating Christmas cookies?
I can tell you're eating Christmas cookies. And with that,
so good.
I'm going to talk about one of my hangover remedies. The drink tonight we're going to make is a special
drink.
Can
you hear my Christmas cookie eating on the air?
When you get up in front of the microphone chomping like that,
well,
yes, I can.
Can you hear it over
here? Hold on, wait. A little bit. I can hear chewing a little bit.
This is so hard. They're called kuludakya, which really mean love twists in Greece.
They are love twists.
I mean, that's also... So if you ever hear a girl come up to you, go a Greek girl, and come up to you and go, Hambone, you are my kuluraki. That means she wants to get butt naked and twist with you. And you know what the best part about Greek women is? They're not crafty. There is nothing crafty about Greek women.
Come on, man.
They're just like dark-haired and like hairy and like want to get down with the ham boner.
So my hangover drink for the new year... Last in December, we had the month of punch.
Month of punch. We have a theme song for this one.
We don't have one yet, but we do have Hambone's Little Helpers. These are my hangover cures to help you get...
Hold on.
Yes.
Hambone's Little Helpers.
Help us. So here I am to help you get over your New Year's hangover and also to get over the hangover in general. So we're going to go with what I consider the big kahuna of hangover helpers, my Hambone's helper, Little Bloody Mary. So you're going to want to serve this in a pint glass. We are going to put in 2 ounces of your favorite vodka, 8 ounces of tomato juice. I know some people are really hip to the whole Clamato thing in a Bloody Mary. Do not fucking put Bloody Mary with Clamato. Don't do it. It's a terrible thing. Stick to 8 ounces of tomato juice, 7 dashes of hot sauce. Now, you can use whatever hot sauce you want. I'm going to tell you, use Tabasco. This is going to be all tone and not so much flavor on the hot sauce front because the flavor comes from 3 dashes of black pepper, a splash of Worcestershire, salt to taste, a pinch of horseradish. And one of the things that I learned when I was bartending was when you're running low on ingredients, some common household items can come in handy, like mustard. So you're going to use a teaspoon of brown mustard. Add some ice, shake all the ingredients together. Now, when you make this for the garnish, you're going to want a celery stick. You're going to want to make 9 slices of bacon. Put 2 in the Bloody Mary for the garnish. Eat the other 7 because you're hungover and y'all need that real bad. So this is my Hambone's Little Helper Bloody Mary. It also makes for a great hangover cure as well as a marinade for chicken and fish.
Fact. Clamato, actually the cure for chlamydia.
That is not. They can't it possibly is.
It's
be.
It's true.
No, it's not.
No. It's true. I know this for a fact. Ken's agreeing with me.
So let me ask you a question. So if your dog gets sprayed by a skunk, you bathe your dog in tomato juice. If you get chlamydia, do I stick my dick in tomato juice? In Clamato? Is that what's going
Clamato,
on?
Clamato, yeah. You rub it on it. Like the warts, you just cover.
I'm sure Google would definitely disagree with us, but okay.
Massage it into the
Massage
skin.
Massage it in. Just rub it.
Rub the Clamato all over your genitals.
Rub it until like...
That sounds like it's going to burn real
bad. But then again...
But Ken's right. You put the straw in the hole so it can breathe while you bathe it in the Clamato.
Like it's snorkeling?
Yes, it's like a snorkeling. It's just like...
George read my mind.
I mean, it's the only way to cure your penis from chlamydia. I mean, this is...
I mean, other than medicine, yeah.
Yes.
You know, going to see a doctor.
Way. I mean, this is the
wrapping
Greek...
It up.
This is the Greek way.
The Greek way is... A Clamato snorkel.
And since Kenny is Italian, that's the closest thing to Greek we have in here. You know, that's where we're at.
Sure.
Hey, Ian Gonzalez, welcome to our show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm the comics editor at Unwinnable. I've been reading comics and watching movies my entire life. And like John or Hambone said before.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, I can name a Doctor Who theme within 1 or 2 bars.
Very impressive. If you were to give, just so we our viewers can like gauge you on like, you know, the worst movie ever made. You know, let's just say Justice League or something. Hambone would like to like Fight Club. Like, where are you? Like, what's your best movie? What's your least favorite movie?
My best movie changes. It usually varies between Amelie, The Empire Strikes Back. And Throne of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
My least favorite movie varies from Batman and Robin to Star Wars Attack of the Clones to Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Okay, we're right there. Like, we completely get that. I mean, just so you know where we're set, I'm Legend of Billie Jean on Best Movie Ever. And Worst Movie Ever, I don't know. It's probably Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
Yeah, that's where I'm about. So now we know a little bit about you.
Hot pile.
We brought you on today because we're just talking about like dark shit, dark shit.
Usually, and from my introduction, I'm a dark person.
You're a dark person. I mean, evil feeds through you. You know, we've been talking a lot about you behind your back lately, Ian. And one of the big questions we have, maybe not you guys, it's probably just me and my wife. Your last name,
yes,
seems to throw us because you look anything but Hispanic. And your name is Gonzalez. So
it's like high school all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, except I don't have a racist nun. Instead, I have a racist Greek.
I'm not racist. I'm just curious. Because, I mean, I look at you and you look svelte, German, Austrian, maybe. Irish.
Irish, yes.
And Mexican?
No, not Mexican.
What are you?
American.
All American.
All American.
All American.
All American. America.
Really?
Yeah. America. My great-grandfather was named George Washington Gonzalez.
That is the awesomest name ever.
He ran a hotel.
Really?
That was also a brothel in Hoboken.
That's pretty awesome. Can we hear more about this right now, or are you making this shit up?
No, I'm not making
this up. Because I usually make this shit up. Go ahead.
He was also a Republican mayor of Hoboken, the first Republican mayor of Hoboken. He got shot.
He got shot.
He survived.
Wait, didn't Josh also tell us like his uncle was a pimp or something?
His uncle was a...
No. Great-grandfather was not a pimp. He just owned the hotel where the pimps would rent rooms.
So this was like Deuce.
He was a landlord. Josh's grandfather was a maker of moonshine and a bootlegger.
Ah, that's it.
Yeah.
So we have one guest who's, you know, a relative was a bootlegger. We have another one who owned a brothel. I think our guests are getting better and better every week. What do you say? Last week, Adam Bird rave reviews about him.
Rave reviews about Adam.
You know, everybody loved the fact that you brought him on as your friend and he tormented you just as much as we do.
You have not seen anything yet, George.
Which blew my mind. Blew my mind.
Ian's known me a lot longer.
But this week I tasked you, I gave you all homework. You had homework. Black Mirror on Netflix. Season 4 just dropped. I started watching it about a year ago because I heard all the rumors about how, like, this is, like, the most fucked up show ever. And as we all know, I love watching feel-bad television.
Oh, you are the king of watching feel-bad television.
I mean, my favorite horror movie is Martyrs. Like, just to put that out there, like, No, that stuff doesn't come through. My beeps and bloops on my computer are not actually being picked up through the... maybe they are. I don't know. But that's the way it is. No, they're not. Have you ever heard them when you've listened to this podcast? Shut your mouth.
Okay.
Shut your mouth. But Dark Mirror, I was like, I need to watch this show because everybody says it's feel bad television. So I watched it. And I saw the first episode with the pig guy.
Oh, the national anthem?
Oh, yeah. And I had Allison. I'm like, Allison, I hear this is good. We should watch it. Allison is typically okay with feel bad TV. Allison goes, this is way too fucking British for me, and walked out the room. And it didn't go uphill from there. I, however, continued to watch it and realized what it actually is Twilight Zone for the internet era.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
Technology more, like, because I don't think it's just internet. I think it's just how we view technology and how like, too dependent on it sometimes.
But it's just like, it's a future that's not too far off from where we are right now.
Oh, yeah. It's like 5 minutes away.
So, Hambone, I tasked you to watch a few episodes, including the debut episode, this first season episode, which was a kind of a spoof off of Star Trek. What were your thoughts? Tell us a little bit about it.
So, I'd seen Black Mirror before. I watched a few episodes of it here and there. The first one I saw was 15 Million Merits from season one. And I kind of didn't like it because I kind of felt that this was the future that we're heading towards. And it was a little too on the nose for me. And I wasn't really in a place in my life where I wanted to watch feel bad TV because, unlike you, I don't like watching feel bad TV. I watch TV to enjoy a little bit of escapism and sometimes adventures and heists. That being said, you gave me the task to watch it again. So I picked up two episodes. I did the USS Callister, which I had heard nothing but rave reviews about from anybody who would let me listen to them would talk about how the USS Callister was the shit. And I got to tell you, George Clausen came downstairs to my apartment today to help out with something. And he's like, what are you watching? I was like, dude, when you go upstairs, watch this episode. It lives up to the hype. It was probably one of the best hours of sci-fi that I have seen in easily 5 years.
I thought it was excellent.
I like front to back. I could not get over how good it was. So much so that anytime I'd watched Black Mirror before, I couldn't watch more than really one episode at a time because it's a little too heady for how I was feeling. However, you recommended San Junipero from season 3, and now I think I'm fully sold on the concept of the series. Although what I read is, I watched the only two happy-ish or happy ending-ish episodes in the entire 4 seasons.
Yeah, that's true.
So I say feel bad TV, but I think it actually is just like modern sci-fi and
sci-fi horror.
Sci-fi horror.
Yeah, sci-fi horror. You know what I really do appreciate about it? That they did not call it the Twilight Zone or go for the cheap pop or get people who would have easily latched on to, oh, they're redoing the Twilight Zone. Because they really did forge their own path with this. It really is its own thing. So I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I don't know that I will be able to watch more than one episode at a time. However, I am going to go back from the beginning.
It's not a binge watch show.
Yeah, it does not feel like a binge watch show, which is normally how I like to watch my Netflix. So I'm going to go back and start from the beginning and just watch them all straight through.
I saw the first 3 episodes of this season. The second episode is like every kid's worst nightmare. Do you hear my child crying?
I do hear a child crying. He's watching Black Mirror.
This is going to be my kid in like 30, 20 years. It's about a mother who tries an experimental program where she can put a microchip, embed it in the brain somehow, the back of the head, so she can see what her child sees and parental control it. Like, oh, you're seeing something you should be watching? I'll blur it out. And it's like the most insane parental advisory ever.
Is that the Jodie Foster episode, one she directed?
That might be it.
Is that the one that got her off the bench? Because she was like not really doing anything for a while. And I think they were saying that Black Mirror was, she loved the concept so much, she's like, all right, I'm going to come back out.
But the crazy part is like, so she puts away the machine when the kid's like young. She's like, maybe this is crazy. But then she finds out her kid doesn't come home at night. Her kid does what most kids do. They said they'll be back, and they don't come home at night. And they lie and say they're going to be at the movies, but they're not at the movies. They're with their boyfriend. Mom fires up the, like, watch it's on 2.0 or whatever, 2000. And, like, daughter, and all she sees is some dude fucking her daughter, like, from, like, wow. Above. Like, yeah, and it's like, oh. And then in the next scene, it's like, let's do some cocaine. Everyone's like, cocaine. Mom freaks out. And then it goes really dark very quickly.
Oh, so that wasn't the dark?
No. Everybody needs to be beaten to death in this season. The third episode of the season was the one where some woman and her boyfriend, their drunk driver, they hit a guy and kill him. So they just throw him in the river. And then like the boyfriend's like, I need to tell somebody. And then she kills him. And then she kills someone else. Because the thing is, The insurance company of the future, they can put a microchip on your head and they can see what you saw at the time of an accident. So you have to kill people because they'll just microchip you. So you have to kill everybody. There's no like halfway in or out or like thread in. Microchip the brain, find out what you did, get your insurance claim. It's all tied back to like just real life weird shit. Tell me about what you think about Black Mirror, Ken. You saw one episode.
I saw one episode earlier today, and I enjoyed it.
And you picked the first episode ever, the season 1, episode 1.
I mean, you know, why am I... Even though it is like a... Yeah, I know, serious. Even though it is like set up like a Twilight Zone, or I thought more Tales from the Dark Side. That's what it kind of really reminded me of.
But it's like technological tales in the dark.
Yeah, of course.
There's no monsters.
I mean, it's set in modern day, so of course, you know, we don't have rotary phones anymore. Everyone uses cell phones, and it's so stitched into society, every element of everyone's phone, the GPS, the camera, the, you know, live streaming, all that. So I thought that was really cool. That first episode was kind of crazy. I didn't think the prime minister would go through with it, and then he does, and then you find out it was some elaborate art scheme by, you know, a guy that was just like doing his final piece. And it was just really disturbing, but super cool. Like I've heard for years, people said it's a great show. So I'll tune in.
Ian, your thoughts?
I find the show to be a little too mean most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mean. I like
going. Yeah, going back through the first season. In fact, like San Junipero is the first episode that isn't mean.
And that was season three.
Yeah, and USS Callister is the second episode that isn't mean.
And by mean, we're just saying they didn't actually do rape. Because they made sure that they don't have genitalia. Like, they actually...
Oh, in Callister? Yeah.
Yeah. They went out of their way to be like...
Yeah, oh. When Jimmy Simpson plays Bongo where his balls should be is pretty funny.
Because I really thought they were... Because, I mean, look, the way... So, just tell a little bit of backstory about this episode. It's an hour and a half mini movie. It's pretty impressive. But there's a guy who's like the Steve Wozniak to Steve Jobs, and everybody treats him like the second class is, and even though he like created everything. And there is a lot of just animosity towards everybody he works at the fake Apple. And they're a video game company, and they're creating the video game of the future, and it's kind of like an RPG. It's like an
open world.
It's essentially Blizzard.
It's a Star Trek like thing, MMO type.
Right, Destiny.
And he has found a way to clone the people he doesn't like or the people who he does like, wink, wink, into the game. But they're not, it's not like he puts the real human in there. He puts a clone.
A digital clone.
But they're, for all intents and purposes, real people.
Yeah.
They're just clones, but they're now stuck in a video game. And they have the memories, all the memories they had in the past of the person.
From before they got uploaded. Yeah.
So that could fuck you up. And then this guy goes into his video game, which is off the grid cloud, and does whatever he wants to these people. Mostly torments them, tortures them. But he purposely gave them no genitalia. And I think that was like a nod to the fact that nowadays in every TV show, it's like got to be some sort of, you know, oh, hot girls in here.
Right. Like hot, sexy, gross times.
Yeah. But no, in this case, it was just like, I want a power trip all over all of you. So I won't even, I think the rationale was when he leaves the game, they're still alive in the game, but he doesn't want them to just have sex because that's probably all they would do out of boredom.
Yeah.
Well, they actually said we actually just tried rubbing our stumps together to see if anything would happen. We just kind of got bored after a while.
I mean, you know a lot about rubbing stumps together.
George.
It's all good. It's all good.
George.
No safety scissors there.
Jesus Christ, George. I did see Metalhead, though.
What is Metalhead?
Metalhead is the fourth episode. It's the black and white episode where it takes place in, it's like an unknown, it's an undescribed apocalypse happens. And there are these security dogs running around that will murder you for doing pretty much anything.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's shot in black and white. And it's just these scavengers who are looking for salt. They go into a warehouse to get a particular item for a sick kid.
I will be watching that tonight after Allison goes to bed.
It's 41. It's a 41-minute chase scene, and it's awesome until the last shot. Because the last shot, like all of Black Mirror, is really mean.
Aw, but mean is good sometimes.
No.
I mean, it's escapism. Sometimes, like, you know, if you're so happy all the time, you just need a little bit of mean.
Can't have the light without the dark.
Exactly. That's why we keep Ken on the show. We need the dark. So on the flip side, so Black Mirror, dark, dark, dark. Happiness for Hambone is Doctor Who.
I love Doctor Who.
I don't know shit about Doctor Who. I've tried so hard to get into this show, but it's like, where do you jump in from? It's like 37 seasons and 52 doctors. And
well, here's what I tell most people. The series is 53 years old. It's going to be 54 this year. There is now, we're at the 13th Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Jodie Whittaker.
Jodie Whittaker, who was on Broadchurch and Attack the Block. For people who do not know what Doctor Who is a time-traveling TV series where a Time Lord who was displaced from the destruction of his planet, who is always referred to as the Doctor but never by his actual name, travels through times righting wrongs and going on adventures in his TARDIS, which looks like a blue police box, and TARDIS stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much one of the longest-running TV series in the world.
Yeah.
And for people who want to get into it, but they don't know where to start. 2005, when they rebooted it, where Russell T. Davies rebooted it, is actually a pretty good place to start with Christopher Eccleston.
That's still like already like 12 years of seasons.
It's weird. There's a couple of places that you can start. You could start in 2005, or you could start during the Matt Smith era.
Right.
Because when Stephen Moffat takes over and Matt Smith is the 11th Doctor, it's kind of like a soft reboot for the show. So you could go in like and not know anything.
You can go in that way and not know anything. That being said, How do you skip David Tennant? David Tennant, the 10th Doctor.
Well, you go back once you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. That being said, the best Doctor was David Tennant. He was the 10th.
Oh, there is some animosity here between the geeks. What is your argument, Ked? Are you zotting right now? We got to save that for commercial.
Zot. I'm old school. I'm old school Doctor Who fan. I watched the early Doctor Who's, and I never invested in the modern, and I would like to invest. I would like to see like the Eccleston Who, but I say start a Tom Baker.
Yep.
Tom Baker is the most fun-loving Doctor in the older series. And that older series, you know, that whole kind of like indoor is video and outdoor is film aesthetic was kind of campy, but also fun. And, you know, the female characters in the original Doctor Who are very strong female characters. One of the few shows to probably have strong female characters in the 80s.
Sarah Jane. Well, it was 70s, but we saw it in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And right now we're introducing the first ever female Doctor.
Yep.
Which is huge. Is huge. For me, you know, I never really got too far into Capaldi in the beginning. Because
what is a Capaldi?
Peter Capaldi is the 12th Doctor. He took over when Matt Smith left the show. The thing that I found when Peter Capaldi first took over, because he's done this for the past 4 years.
Is it four?
It's about 4 years, yeah. Stephen Moffat, who is the showrunner, was also showrunning Sherlock over for the BBC. He kind of started really focusing more on Sherlock and kind of letting Doctor Who kind of suffer a little bit for it. So the really good Capaldi episodes, the real good character work, the real good understanding of Capaldi's Doctor really didn't come until towards the end, which is unfortunate, but at the same time amazing, because when we saw the 12th Doctor say goodbye, the changing of the guard that he gave to me actually rivals Matt Smith's goodbye. Matt Smith, David Tennant's goodbye.
Yeah.
When David Tennant went from companion to companion, because David Tennant had what, four companions?
All said and done? He had Rose. He had
Martha.
Martha.
Donna.
Donna.
He had Donna's.
So companions Donna's are like father, sex slaves.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack Harkness.
Yeah.
Time agent from the 51st century.
So a companion.
Omnisexual.
Omnisexual. Companions for Doctor Who's are pretty much his voice of reason. His the person who will always pull him back from the brink.
They're the audience touchstones.
It's Hambone's George.
Yes. It's Hambone's George.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's actually, you don't even know how nice that is, George. Thank you. So what the companions have always done was kind of bring him back from the brink. So where David Tennant had about five companions, give or take. Peter Capaldi, he had Billy, he had Clara for a little bit, and he had Nardole.
Yep.
So he actually got to say goodbye to them in a very short fashion, because the David Tennant goodbye took about 40 minutes.
Well, he didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go. And this one, Peter Capaldi gave a speech where his entire life, all he ever wanted to be was Doctor Who. So this was him letting go of the Doctor. And at the same time, it was Moffat really kind of letting go of the Doctor as well. So his final advice was, never be cruel, never be cowardly. Hate is always foolish, and love is always wise. Always try to be nice, and never fail to be kind. You know, and of course, yeah, the normal Doctor Who shit, and they're like, oh, and don't ever eat pears, because why would you eat a pear? Why would you not tell people to not eat pears? So this was a fantastic send-off for Doctor Who. Jodie Whittaker came in with fire and ended up getting launched out of the TARDIS, and now we have to wait until the fall to figure out what happened.
Yep.
I am so fucking excited for a female Doctor. I am so excited for a brand new idea of Doctor Who to come out, and just to see what happens next.
The look on her face.
Oh shit! It was great
when she realizes that she's a she. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Wait, so you don't know what gender you are?
No. When you regenerate,
Time Lords have multiple lives.
Yeah, multiple lives. When you regenerate, David Tennant, he was like, oh God, thank God I'm not a ginger. Matt Smith was like, oh, I'm a ginger. Peter Capaldi's like, oh, I'm old. Like, and this is Jodie Whittaker. She's a woman.
So who's the antagonist? Is there a bad guy? Like
many.
Many. There's the Cybermen. There's the Daleks. There's the Master.
Missy now.
There's himself. There's countless alien races. There's the U.S. government. At one time or another, he's on the wrong side of everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's always on the right side of saving the universe.
Exterminate!
Well, we have a soundbite now. Thanks, Ian.
Those are always my favorite when guests do soundbites.
Who do you recommend is the target audience for Doctor Who? Like, what type of person would jump into this?
Brits.
Well, not just Brits.
It's very British.
You know what? Because
I can't even watch the first original Office.
So I think because we got younger, cuter doctors for a little while there, America got really into the doctor. Like, girls just wanted David Tennant. They even wanted Matt Smith even more. Guys, too. So
women watch this show?
Yeah.
Yes. Women actually watch Doctor Who, George.
Yeah, George. Where you been?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've met children who love it. I've met grown-ass adults who love it. I've met people in between who, like, didn't think they'd ever love something like this, but just kind of fell into it one day because they saw reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I feel like out here, more American women like Doctor Who, whereas in, obviously, UK, Europe, it's the audience is both men and women. But yeah. I feel like out here, a lot of women really like Doctor Who.
Yeah, so if you have not seen the Doctor Who Christmas special, definitely check it out. If you are not pumped for Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, I don't even want to know you. So check that out. Doctor Who will be back, I think, in the late summer, early fall this year.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to start off with the woman.
Just start with the woman.
Yeah, you should.
Can I just start with the woman?
Yeah, it's a new showrunner, so yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I mean, I think now is the time. I'll start with the woman.
Start with the woman.
I'm pro-woman. This is fine. Start I can do this right.
Yeah,
Great.
I even had the phone booth on my Christmas tree that my wonderful cousin got me for Christmas a couple years back.
Nice. He was like, I was at the store. You're a nerd. Here looks a TARDIS.
I thought it was Bill and Ted. Excellent Adventure.
That's retardist.
I had no idea. That was bad.
That's retardist. Yeah, I used that joke on another show.
You can't say that word.
So let's continue this like snowball of hand bone. This like snowballing hand bone. Hand bone snowballing.
George, like, snowballing hand bone means something totally different than you think it means.
Can we talk about the winter vortex that's coming upon us?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this? Like,
I thought it was a...
it is so cold. I don't even know why you guys showed up. We could have done this remote. Like, it is so cold.
I gotta go
cold.
To estate sales tomorrow.
It is so cold, and we're gonna get like 3 to 7 inches of snow.
But currently it's looking like 5 to 8.
And it's looking like
1 to 4.
Do you know what a winter vortex is?
I guess it's a negotiation.
Do you know what a snow bomb is? We are about to enter into the first, at least as far as I can remember, winter hurricane.
Yeah, that's where the shit's gonna really be. It's gonna be a winter hurricane.
The wind tomorrow is gonna be nuts.
Yeah, snow bomb is my new nickname.
Snow bomb.
We're fucked. Is what it
you're
means.
Snow bomb, he snowballs. It's all the same.
George, like, it doesn't mean what you think it means.
It's okay if you like to snowball. Like, I am George. All for you snowballing anytime you want.
If you want it, spit back in your mouth, man. That's totally cool.
Anytime
that's fine.
You want.
I mean, your theme is Informer by Snow.
George, yeah. Ken!
Yeah, you do you, man. You do you.
I'm getting it from all sides.
As long as your partner's into it, hey, don't, man, this is America.
It's not that gay. It's okay. It's okay.
George.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. It's okay.
So, yes, we're about to get hit by a winter hurricane in the state of New Jersey. We don't know what anything is going to happen. I just know I'm not leaving my house tomorrow. I'm going to be listening to this podcast going, oh, my God.
I'll be somehow trying to make my way to work because nobody will tell me I'll work from home.
Yeah.
It's usually the usual way I work. So you're going to be home, and you're going to be watching bad Hambone movies because so every week we had to come up with 3 segments each. Usually I come up with good ones. Hambone comes up with Hambone ones. This time he did it because I saw it. I'm like, wait. The new Will Smith movie on Netflix, the one that's being called the worst movie of all time.
So I think that's a little bit of hyperbole there because I've actually checked out a list of the worst movies of all time, and there are things that are far worse than Bright. So recently, Netflix sunk $90 million into a movie called Bright with Will Smith. It is essentially a buddy cop movie, a fantasy movie, and a Will Smith movie all rolled up into one. And to be honest with you, like, if you like buddy cop movies, if you like Will Smith movies, if you like fantasy movies, this is really not a bad movie. This movie, it's not great. It's not the best thing I've ever seen. The dialogue's a little bit stiff. That being said, it was 2 hours of my life that I was pretty okay with watching.
Can you tell us a little bit about what this movie is about, Hambo?
So what this movie is about is that there is orcs, dwarves, fairies, and elves all living together in modern Los Angeles. However, there is really limited, or if not no, magic left in the world. So there is a magic wand that is found, and it is said to bring back the Dark One that caused the orcs, the dwarves, the elves, and the humans to band together to save the human race in the first place over 2,000 years ago.
You're listening to what you're saying, right?
I'm hearing every word, Ian.
You mean it wasn't the trailer for Men in Black 3?
It was
a pretty good movie,
so
actually.
So you think this is an episode of Mai Tai Happy Hour? This is not what this show is. Tonight, Hambone, this is an intervention.
Jesus Christ, George.
The amount of money you sink into bad movies.
Yes.
Like, you went and saw Justice League. You went and saw Batman versus Superman.
Okay, hold on a second here. But what do we do? I go see it so you don't have to. I'm sparing your life. You're welcome.
I'm going to throw down the gauntlet here.
Oh, Jesus.
You spent money that you earned on the DVD of Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Yeah.
You spent full price on that.
Yeah, it was like, $9.99.
I didn't get on sale. No, it wasn't $9.99.
Is there a point?
There weren't $9.99 DVDs at the time. DVDs were pretty new when you bought that.
You bought the Criterion version of that movie.
They didn't make a Criterion version of that movie, George.
It was like $24.99 at Coconuts.
I don't recall.
It was $24.99.
What about, like, time is precious. You realize you're old. You might not be around much longer. Like, time is what you make it. And if you squander 2 hours watching a buddy cop movie between
made
Will
for
Smith
Netflix
and by a
orc.
Rapist.
They're that I found out later
Jesus
on.
Jesus Christ,
that
alone.
I found out later on. An alleged, yeah, it was a fucking thing.
A legend.
Yeah, but what
is it? Do you need your friends to be your Rotten Tomatoes?
I already have Rotten Tomatoes in this movie, by the way. A critic 28%, an audience 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, people are shitting
Star
all over
Wars
this movie.
Star Wars also got 50% from audience and 98% from critics. So you can't go by the critics thing. Not by the critics, by the humans.
Humans are dumb. I put the movie on. I enjoyed it, and then I went to bed.
So was it better or worse than Norbit?
Oh, nothing. It was definitely not better than Norbit. How dare you?
When a bad movie enters your atmosphere, all this, Hambone, all this atmosphere, like when you feel the drive, the push, the pull to watch horrible television and movies, you know what you can do? You can call me up and say, dude, let's hang out. Let's get some ice cream. Let's chill. Let's play
George,
video games.
You have a baby. I'm not going to call you at like 12:30 p.m.
When did I turn to the guy with the baby who can't hang out? We're at my house shooting a podcast.
We hang out plenty, but you know what? You know what time is not appropriate to call a buddy with a baby? Like 12:30 in the morning. When you're not, you know, I'm just, it's 11:30, 12:30
night. Hambone's in his boxer shorts.
I'm in my Bullet Club pajamas. I'm trying not to leave my house. I've got a stack.
Another problem. We'll save that intervention for another episode.
Wrestling intervention.
I'm going to put it out
No one at this table could have a wrestling intervention.
None.
See, I have my fair share of bad movies that hold a good place in my heart. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna vomit out my bad, and then we'll share, and then you can share, and then we'll talk to Hambo, and maybe we can
like
tell
like guilty pleasures.
You can have one or two or five. So here's mine: the original Point Break.
How dare you? That movie's great.
It's actually horrible. Watch it today. It's like 3 hours long.
I watched it like 3 weeks ago. It's still good.
You imagine it better than it is.
You're wrong.
The end of it gets a little, slow.
Yeah.
But.
Beastmaster.
Great
the original.
Movie. Great.
It's a fun movie.
Great movie.
Ice Pirates.
Okay, that's kind of a... that's on the fence.
I also love every non-Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
So, yeah, you are just not what I'm talking.
See, my bad tastes are still a thousand times better than your good taste.
No, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie is better than the other two.
No, I actually like the Warzone one. I don't know why. I like the Thomas Jane one. Yeah, I like it. It's just
I like the Dolph.
Like, what horrible movie, Ian, do you love that, like, maybe you shouldn't admit to?
Oh, so many.
Let it go. Let it go.
It's not horrible. I love Josie and the Pussycats.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's really fucking funny.
Oh, my God.
It's really fucking funny.
With Rachel Lee Cook, right?
Yeah, and Rosario Dawson.
It's good. I don't see what the problem is.
It's a really... You know what? I may have to revisit that.
I think you guys are all losing your argument for yourselves. No, this is great. Just let it all out, guys.
Ken?
I mean, I like a lot of weird movies, and probably most people.
I mean, you probably love Conan the Destroyer.
No.
Who doesn't love Conan the Destroyer?
I hate Conan the Destroyer. I love Conan the Barbarian.
It's pretty bad.
Conan the Destroyer is terrible. Whoa. I love that bad guy at the end, but that movie is terrible.
You're telling me Conan the Destroyer,
the second
where he puts an adventuring party together to go save the princess on the glass island, you're telling me that's terrible?
Do you know Will Chamberlain plays himself in that movie?
I know, he fucked everyone on the cast, God bless him.
If they bid it for a little more than like $15, yeah, it'd probably be pretty good.
Oh, guys, that I don't even terrible. Know you anymore.
So, Hambone, I just have one word of advice.
Ishtar
was a pretty bad movie.
One word of advice, because you're going to continue to do this, and we got to end it. Like, you got to realize you're coming towards the end of your life. You need to slow down on the bad movies and put that time back into give it back to us.
So he's getting younger.
Yeah. I give you guys plenty.
You know, Benjamin Button disease is now working in reverse.
It is not working in reverse.
Or he was reverse. Now it's in true.
I've stopped aging.
Yes. Yes.
You guys are all crazy people.
So ask yourself this.
George.
You're sitting down on your couch. You might be wearing underwear. You usually don't.
I always wear underwear.
You have in one hand. You're thinking, should I watch this movie? Think to yourself one thing and one thing only. Is this a buddy cop movie?
There is nothing wrong with a buddy cop movie.
If the answer is yes, then ask yourself one more question.
Is there nachos? Can I make nachos?
Does it co-star The Rock? If the answer is no, you have a question too, Ian.
Is it Collision Course with Jay Leno and Pat Morita?
Okay, that's understandably terrible.
You've seen that movie?
I've never seen that movie, but I imagine it's terrible because
Jay Leno at the time was not the worst person
like
in the world.
Day After Tomorrow. I had this conversation today at work. Worst movie.
Terrible movie.
If it starred The Rock, it would be good. It would be great. No, it would be amazing. It would be twice as good.
I think they did that. It was called San Andreas.
Because The Rock wouldn't be running from the ice. He would just stare it down, and it would stop.
You do know that if you multiply anything by zero, the answer is still zero, right?
Do you know if you multiply anything by zero, the answer is always The fucking Rock?
You know what? As much as
you
disagree,
see the Mummy
I agree
Returns?
With him there.
The Mummy Returns doesn't count. The Mummy Returns. No, The Mummy
he's
Returns was his first movie ever.
Yeah, but he's in it.
No, that's like saying the Scorpion
Walking
King.
Tall was really
Everyone
good.
Everyone knows the feud, not the fugitive.
It's not as good as the original, but it is pretty good.
The Rundown is the first Rock movie.
For his first few movies, Rundown is probably the best.
I would say
all.
The Rundown is the first one I acknowledge is The Rundown.
So for now on, if you're going to sit down and watch a bad movie, one question. It's The Rock in it. If the answer is yes, you watch it. If he's not, you turn it off and wait till another Rock movie comes out. It'll probably be a few. I hear Jumanji is very good.
Jumanji's supposed to be excellent. It actually dethroned Star Wars at the box office. Too sweet.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh yeah. Jumanji beat Star Wars New Year's weekend.
What does that tell you?
Do you know Star Wars dropped 60% first, second week? What did it drop the second,
yeah,
or third?
Yeah, because people are stupid.
Oh, I don't know. I just saw the clip, the headline, as I was typing up my notes for the show today, that Jumanji squash. I didn't think we were going to be talking about The Rock tonight. Here's what I'll tell you, buddy. Agree to disagree. I will continue to watch bad movies.
No.
Here's what I want to know.
If you know it's bad, don't.
How come more people are watching Jumanji than they are The Shape of Water, which was awesome?
Okay,
I don't think
Shape
that's
of,
why.
Shape of Water, I am dying to see. I thought that was in limited release.
Yeah, I don't think that's wide. I think it's not.
I don't think it's wide yet.
I saw it in Clifton.
But that might not be as like wide everywhere. Clifton, to their credit, actually does get a lot of left of center stuff. It's not everywhere.
Or it might have just went wide. But come on, you can't
answer Ian's question.
You can't compare a movie with The Rock in it to anything else.
The masses don't think or feel.
It is the most romantic movie I've seen since
Ken,
Love
Ken
Actually.
Just put down his sunglasses, that's and now funny. We all look like skeleton people.
Do you guys know?
You do.
That
George is an alien.
Did you hear they recast Lando Calrissian in the new Star Wars movie coming out?
No, I did not hear that.
Are you freaking out? You didn't know that?
Donald Glover's playing.
He's
right?
on all the posters.
Nope.
The Fonz.
Bullshit.
Yep. The Rock.
Oh, Rock. George, come on, dude. I walked right into that one. Son of a bitch.
The Rock is going to be playing Lando Calrissian. And I bet you he'll do a better job than Billy Dee Williams because The Rock is fucking The Rock.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams isn't doing so well.
So we'll stop there. We got about 10 minutes left. We had talked about talking about the shit that was great last year, but fuck last year. Even though it was pretty good for me, it wasn't so good for others. Fuck everything. We're in the future, so we're going to talk about what we are looking most forward to in 2018. And I feel that as our special guest, do you need to think about this?
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
Wow.
Do you realize this is not a political podcast?
It's okay.
Love everybody.
What he wants.
Do you also know that we are a wrestling podcast? And Donald Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame.
I never agreed with that, though.
Nor did I.
Yeah, that's rich people being rich people.
And it is just the celebrity wing, which I'm very upset that Motorhead is not in yet, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I was going to say right there, Lemmy's not in it, but Donald Trump is. It's bullshit.
Pete Rose is in it.
What else are you looking forward to this year?
I agree.
The rest of Star Trek Discovery.
I have not watched that. Nobody's ever brought it up as a topic for this show, so I'm curious. Is Star Trek Discovery any good?
Yes, I like it a lot. It's very... un-Star Trek in a lot of ways, but they're not necessarily, it's not bad.
Is Jean-Luc Picard in it?
No.
Then I don't want to see it.
Jason Isaacs is in it.
The guy from the Old Spice commercials?
No. No. No.
Jason I'm on a horse.
Poe Dameron?
No, that's Oscar Isaac.
No.
No, Jason Isaac was in the Harry Potter movies.
You know what he was in?
He was the Daddy Malfoy.
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
He was the doctor, the captor, and
Lucius
the OA.
Malfoy.
Yeah. And what?
He was the doctor, the captor of the people, and the OA.
All right.
Yeah, he's the captain of the ship.
He almost looks like Michael
Fassbender.
He is
a pathological asshole, and he's great.
What are you looking forward to this year, Ken?
You know what? I quit my job. We all covered that last time.
Yeah.
I'm psyched.
Does it feel good to be free?
It does, but you know.
Do you just sit home all day masturbating and doing art? No. Is that pretty much all you do? Because I can't think of anything else.
I mean, he runs out of Mod Podge.
Hey, finally, a crafting joke.
You're welcome.
Too bad
we like crafty guys. We don't like crafty
I'm
girls.
Just psyched to, look to the future and work hard and create my own thing and hopefully be successful at it.
Is it sad? Am I selfish? Because I actually have a list.
I have a list too.
I have a list.
You should have a list.
I'm gonna fight your list. My list is better.
My list is gonna fight your list.
George's list is better.
I'm gonna go first. My list is better. So I am most excited. The number one thing I'm most excited this year, and more than like my child saying his first word, brunch.
It's gonna be brunch.
It's gonna be Infinity War.
Yes.
I am so excited for the Infinity War right now because it's just gonna like just dominate anything DC's ever done. At this point, I just want to see them destroy DC.
That's been your dream for years.
I want to see the day DC dies, we're doing a double-sized episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Requiem for DC Comics.
That's making me very sad because I really like DC.
You're wearing an Amazing Spider-Man shirt. I love you. Shut your mouth.
Wow.
Infinity War, number one thing I'm looking forward to. Number two, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
Do you know what I spent my Christmas break doing, guys? I spent my Christmas break trying to get 50. So there's a treasure hunt that appears on Grand Theft Auto Online. We had to go find, you find a pirate map and you're chasing people around and you eventually find the gun that's going to be the gun in Red Dead Redemption 2. And then if you get 50 headshots with it when Red Dead Redemption comes out and you buy it, you'll get another super gun to use in Grand Theft Auto. I'm so excited. That's one of the best games. That and that Paper Mario, the original Super Mario RPG. That's it. The original Super Mario RPG and The Last of Us are the best games I've ever played in my life.
Word up.
Just putting that
Mario
out there.
Mario RPG's great.
Word of the wise.
I'm excited for Handmaid's Tale Season 2.
Oh, on the Hulu?
Which should be coming very soon.
Very fun.
You want to talk about Black Mirror? I mean, that if that had any technology in it whatsoever, it would be Black Mirror because... Handmaid's Tale is just so dark and so dark and dark. Yeah. I love it. Love it, love it. Two more things. I am excited for what Walt Disney's going to do with the Fox properties because we haven't talked about it since it was a hyperbole or a thought or a possibility. Disney bought Fox.
I guarantee Cash Money says they already have scripts done and shit and play ready to go.
Yeah, I will tell you this, though, that the upcoming three Marvel movies will stand, Fox movies will stand as is, Deadpool 2, yep. New Mutants, and the Rise of the Phoenix, we'll let that go, but I'm excited to see that very last scene in Infinity War where you just see a snicked and the new Wolverine appears. And then the final thing I'm looking forward to in the new year is hopefully a new Bad Religion record, because it's been a while since they released
it's been a long time.
How about you, Hambone? I bet you my list is better.
Well, you know, I've got a couple things. I'm looking forward to the new season of Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix. That's going to be out on March 30th.
God, you love children's shows.
George, I like what I like.
They're also really good books.
I like Neil Patrick Harris and Patrick Warburton, so it's a win for me. Yeah.
I might actually watch it.
Neil Patrick Harris is actually Count Olaf.
Oh, okay.
On the 26th of January, a movie called Please Stand By is coming out with one of the Fanning sisters and Patton Oswalt about an autistic girl who writes a Star Trek script and she runs away with her dog. This trailer was rather heartwarming, so I'm looking forward to this film. I'm also looking forward to Ready Player One, Ocean's 8, which is going to be the all-female version of Ocean's 11, which is a heist movie, George, and I'm very excited about that. Video games, all I'm waiting for is The Last of Us 2. That's all I'm looking forward to is The Last of Us 2. And the thing I'm looking forward to most for wrestling this year is finally figuring out where the Cody Rhodes Young Bucks All-In 10,000-seat event is going to be. I want to go to that.
We're going to that, you and me.
We're going.
I might go, but I...
No, just me and Hambo, that's it.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I'm good with that. That's perfectly fine. Do you know what I've just realized?
What?
I've just realized Hambone is like our Willy Wonka.
That's kind of nice, George.
He's like our Michael Jackson.
Whoa, he's there, Tiger. Ah, you son of a silly goose.
He both is a little child.
I mean, you know, his old house used to be like Wonderland. You go to those parties.
Oh, my houses were crazy.
That was mostly cocaine.
There was never. I've never done cocaine because
there was
a
stripper pole.
Oh, I did have a stripper pole in my basement.
So
and that couch did give a friend a rash.
That was from the snowballing
and a full
ball. George, no.
And the chlamydia.
The chlamydia,
no, George.
It was funny. I'm digging it.
You guys will kill me tonight.
I guess finally we should talk a little bit about, I mean, this is going to air the day before it's on, but it'll be on at midnight. We are, we're going to watch our first Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Like, are you excited for it?
You know, I'm really excited for it because there's a few matches I definitely want to check out. I definitely want to see the Young Bucks Roppongi 3K match. I will tell you, if you guys get the chance to see the press conference before there, the Young Bucks cut a savage promo on Roppongi 3K, talking about how the Young Bucks have been around for 14 years, and no one's going to remember Roppongi 3K in 6 months. It was fantastic, a great way to hype the match. You know, I'm excited to see the Cody match.
Cody versus Ibushi is the only match I'm like...
It's funny because you constantly shit on Cody Rhodes and his wrestling abilities.
No, but Ibushi's one of the best in the world,
That this is going to bring Cody to that next level.
I mean, he's so much better than anybody with a Bullet Club shirt.
George. Wasn't CM Punk the best in the world?
No, he was actually kind of okay.
Oh, okay.
If you say it enough, you might actually be coming.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Marty Scurll versus Takahashi versus Kushida versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight. That's going to be another good one. You know, I'm really excited for the very beginning. They do the New Japan pre-show Rumble, which is always kind of a fun match to watch.
It's usually a garbage match.
But
it's
Battle
Royals in WWE.
That's fine, though. I like a good Battle Royal.
He enjoys it.
Look, let's just talk about what everyone's been talking about. How excited are you about the true main event of the show? Kenny Omega, the Omega versus the Alpha, Chris Jericho.
I am so fucking excited for this match. What is it? Just me? Am I the only one?
I was waiting for the Zot.
I don't know anything about this stuff, so I'm just
he's not a wrestling.
So I'm gonna eat some cookies.
Eat some cookies. Chris Jericho has been in the wrestling business for almost 30 years. He has consistently reinvented himself through ECW, through Japan, through wrestling in Japan, through the WWE, the WCW, and now he is wrestling in New Japan against Kenny Omega, who is arguably the best in the world, Mr. 6-star, 6.25-star match of the year, Kenny Omega. And I think Chris Jericho has got to be, what, 53 now?
He's like 48.
I thought he was like 50-something.
Look that up, Ken.
I'm Googling it. Either way, he is coming back at the top of his game.
53.
I think
the Undertaker's 53. Okay, Google. How old is Chris Jericho? Chris Jericho is 47 years old. Not even 48.
Suck it.
Put your glasses on, Hambone.
Listen, I got two words for you guys. Suck it.
Put on your crafting bifocals.
So, how old's Kenny Omega? Kenny Omega is like hardly in his 30s.
Yeah.
At the top of his game. And no, Chris Jericho
I think Kenny Omega is probably mid-30s.
Chris Jericho is coming to do some damage in New Japan.
Okay, Google. How old is Kenny Omega? So it's not that far off.
How old's The Undertaker?
Are you kidding me? That's 13 years.
Okay, Google. How old's The Undertaker? Okay, oh, wow. So yeah. I called it all the way around. So basically, you were about to say that Chris Jericho is older than The Undertaker.
Dude, listen. 13 years is a lot. Chris Jericho spent most of the year on tour with his band.
No, he spent most of the year doing the list.
No, he spent the beginning of the year doing the list, and he spent the rest of the year on tour with his band.
He wrestled at WrestleMania.
I'm not even going to get in there. Hambone's living in this alternate reality.
He spent a summer with his band.
And then the fall.
He's been doing this.
Doing what? He's been showing up, making promos. He hasn't been wrestling.
Making promos. Look, Chris Jericho's going to whoop Kenny Omega's ass all over Japan Thursday night at 4 a.m.
Me and Ken beg to differ.
Morning. Like, there's going to be bloodlet. There's going to be... Jericho is just going to lion tamer Kenny Omega back to freaking wherever he came from. I don't know. Like, Kenny Omega might as well just go home now because...
I love Omega, but I feel like this is... Could be three matches.
Oh, I mean, it's gonna be three matches.
So I think
Jericho's going over.
If there's gonna be three matches, he's gonna win the first one. Omega win the series.
I love how we're only talking about white people.
I think the Okada match is gonna be killer.
Because I don't think white America's ready for New Japan.
No. Well, East Coast and the West Coast are because they are already into that.
Yeah.
But Middle America isn't.
Nope, not at all. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. We will not be watching it from midnight to 4 a.m.
No, we are going to
avoid Twitter through Saturday. I thought it was Sunday, the thing at Becker's house.
No, it's Saturday. Yeah.
So glad because I would have looked at, I wouldn't think I could have held off. Like, spoilers for wrestling. I mean, I look at Twitter, I wake up, it's like Twitter.
Let's be real, George. You're going to be on Twitter tomorrow.
I will not be on Twitter.
You are totally going to be on Twitter tomorrow.
I will not be on Twitter. I'm taking a Twitter boycott.
Going to be on Elo.
I'll be on Elo. Yeah. You know I'm on Elo.
Of course.
Like, I'm on Elo. I'm deep in Elo.
You use it?
I share on Elo. I have the app on my phone.
You and like three other people.
I Elo down.
I get emails from Elo.
Me too. Yes.
I mark them as spam.
Yeah,
no,
me too.
Elo is like, that's where it was at.
I have an Elo account.
It's the minimalist social media. Yeah, it's the good shit on Elo. Like, that's where you want to be in. That's where. Hey, Hambone, the crafty girls, they're not on Elo. That's
George,
the place
come
to
on,
be.
Man.
That's the place to go.
She's crafty.
Elo. She's. Oh my God, that's.
The look of glee on George's face.
Oh my God.
She's crafty.
Oh my God.
I guess we found his 2018 theme.
I guess it's not going to be Snow's Informer anymore.
Well, hey, you're not going to get those snow job jokes anymore.
I don't know what's worse.
Snowball. Sorry.
Speaking of which, we've got a snow few jobs, hours. So if we survive the polar vortex, we will be back next week. Ken, how can the awesome people of the world reach you?
Of course, you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Kurse, KURSSC. Zombie Gentleman, same thing. Follow my art, buy my art. Come see me at shows. I booked a whole bunch of shows. I'll be at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey
in March. Monster Mania.
Big one.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I think I might be at Monster Mania with you.
I'll come down.
Ian, it's been a fantastic new year having you on. I hope it's been everything you wanted it to be. Like with this podcast,
it's everything I expected.
Like, this was it, right? I know you do like professional podcasts. I don't know if this was like, you know, this is as DIY as it gets. We have like microphones. That's about the extent of
this. I really like the cookies and the San Pellegrino.
Cookies. We didn't do the Zops commercial.
Can I shout out Mrs. Caronius?
Yeah,
and
go
say
right ahead.
You make awesome cookies.
Yeah, that's my mom. She's great. Does it right. Yeah. Ian, how can the kids reach you?
You can reach me on Twitter at Ian Gonzalez, IanGonzales. Don't at me about my politics.
There you go. No adding about the politics. For the last time ever, just feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Oh, my God. Everyone, you can find me on Twitter at Handbreaker. I tweet a lot, mostly about wrestling. I mostly retweet wrestlers. And Dungeons & Dragons. I pretty much only talk about Dungeons & Dragons and wrestling on Twitter. And that's okay, too.
He licked your boom boom down.
George, where can they find you?
They can reach me. I mean, I'm oh, everywhere. You can find me at GLK Creative on Instagram. You can find me at GLK Creative on Twitter. You can find me at cultofgeorge.com, where you can find the archive of Mai Tai TV and Mai Tai Happy Hour. What, Ian?
Wow, you really do like Offspring. That wasn't a joke.
No.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And you can reach me at GLK Creative. I have a couple more weddings to fill this year. Maybe two. You can find us all in that happy place where happiness lives, where there are no crafty women. Hambone, take us out!
Folks, remember, always be kind. And if you can't be kind, always be nice. Aloha, everybody.
Rich is bad, humble, and don't fuck his ass.
Jesus.